Hello.
Welcome to Market Your Magic.
Hello. I was jamming to that music every time it gets me.
Okay. So Stouffer, tell us what we're doing tonight.
We are connecting with, we have a pretty awesome guest. Her name is Anurakti of Anurakti Tarot. I say tarot, she says taro. So we're going to say taro tonight.
Fair enough. We were actually discussing the name and the name of her business, but right beforehand, and I was like, it's Anurakti. Like,
it sounds kind of fresh. It sounds like she's a rock star or maybe a pop star, whatever she wants to be. I'm sure she could do it.
So, all right. So Anurakti Tarot is a spiritually based business established in 2019, focused on holistic healing through divination and herbs. Tarot is used as a tool to bring clarity and guidance into any situation. Anurakti Tarot was established to serve the community through enlightenment by reconnecting to the soul of the spirit. Me too. With that being said, Anurakti, welcome to the show.
Hello, guys. Nice to see you guys. How's everybody doing?
We're doing very well.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm really, really grateful to be here. I really mean that.
Absolutely. Well, we are super excited to have you with us and glad that you were willing to come on and all the things. So tell us how Anurakti Tarot started.
So Anurakti Tarot started for myself. I went through my own phase of transformation and healing. And originally I grew up very religious. So tarot was not something that was accepted by my family, of course. So for me, I studied a lot in private and I started with a playing card deck. That's how I taught myself how to read, was playing cards. And then I eventually progressed to getting me a tarot deck. And I just kept studying in private. And then I was just reading for fun. And people were telling me, they're like, you're very, very accurate as a reader. And people just kept telling me that. And I was like, okay, well, I should keep following this as a path. So what I did, I was very shy. I first just made business cards. I just made business cards and I handed them out. And then eventually my cousin came around, Arnisha Bobo. She's a really good virtual CFO. Very successful. She has a book and she really just led me on the path to creating a website. She's like, if you want to be private about it, that's fine. Continue to have your card out and just create a website where people can schedule you. And then from there, it just kind of has taken off and evolved. I've always been into herbs and healing. So it just became an elevation to the tarot. It was an added way to help people with healing. Besides just giving them words, I could give them tangible things. Teas or sound healing, whatever, oils, anything that they needed, you know, to help them on their path. So that's what it kind of just grew into. And I just, I really cherish it. It's my baby.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Let's talk about like, when did that kind of start? Like what year was that?
I started with the business cards and probably was about 2019. It was about 2019. Okay. That I started with the business cards. And as soon as I did the business cards, my cousin flew her out of nowhere just to visit. And she was just, it was like God put her right there in my space and was like, this is how you do the website. And she just showed me and I just, it took off from there, you know, slow progression. But I'm a part of other groups right now. I work a lot with the Red Barn, with Susie and Alana. So I do monthly sound baths with them where I read tarot. And I do a lot of private events also. So it's been very successful just with the slow work, doing a lot of the groundwork, networking and meeting people, you know, that are interested in healing the spirit and staying in tune with the soul.
Right. So a lot of the work you do is in person. Is that right?
It depends. If you ever book a private reading, I am going to do a virtual. But I do come across people in private. You get me in private. If you catch me at a private party, or if you catch me at the Red Barn. Most of the time, I try to keep myself virtual. But like I said, you will get me exclusive at private parties, and you will get me exclusive at the Red Barn. And I try to keep it that way, personal. Just, you know, I think it's more special when it's one-on-one. But again, I try to limit myself to that interaction also, because it can be draining.
Of course. Yeah, but it sounds like you have a very versatile kind of business there. So let people know, I mean, I know where the Red Barn is, but let everybody watching and listening know, like, what geographically, where you work and where the Red Barn is.
So the Red Barn is actually located in Murrieta. It's near Santa Rosa Plateau. My friend, she's a really amazing community worker, Susie. She's absolutely incredible, and I really hope she makes it on to the podcast for sure. But she really wants to provide a safe space for people to heal. She does massage, Reiki, and sound healing. So for her, she wants to create a safe place for people to continue to heal, to continue to grow in spirituality. And for her, it became the Red Barn. So she brought me in as a part of the Red Barn events with Alana to read tarot for sure and market my products, which is oils, incense. Like I said, I do a lot with herbs. I do a lot with herbs and teas. So that became how I became a part of the Red Barn. So that's in Santa Rosa Plateau. I am located in Temecula, but I do not read out of my home or anything like that. I'm all virtual. So I'm located in Temecula.
And that's California for anyone not here.
It's always sunny.
Of course. Well, except today.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. So, okay. So what are some of the challenges that you've faced with your business?
The number one challenge, I guess, would just have to say is being comfortable and saying that I'm a tarot reader. That was something that took me a while to do. You know, like I said, I grew up religious and it was breaking away from that matrix concept. You know, it's safe for me to be who I am. It's safe for me to be a spiritual practitioner. It's safe for me to be a tarot reader and not, you know, to scare people off, because you have to still think about it. We still live in a world where people are still very narrow-minded regarding certain things, especially when it comes to religion and spirituality. And for me, that's no longer a part of me, but still, it was hard for me to kind of open up to that. So for me, that was the number one challenge, was to just be open, say, hey, I'm a tarot reader, you know? And then the second thing for me, I guess, would definitely say is, I love what Monica said. It was definitely naming for me. Naming was something that took me a minute, but I realized it has always been a part of me. So Anurakti is actually a Sanskrit word, and it means the engagedness of the heart or love. So for me, it's about engaging your heart on the spiritual path to self-awareness. Everything comes from the heart. You know, when you speak, they don't leave from your mouth. It leaves from your heart. And we should think about it more that way when we're in that exchange. So for me, I wanted to stick to that name. I know it is a little difficult for people because it is technically a Sanskrit word, which is an ancient word. But it has a lot of power to it, especially next to the word tarot. I use tarot for the highest and greatest good of all, to provide healing and to provide insight. And tarot is just, it's so full of hermetics. All you do is grow with it. So it really is like developing a relationship with somebody. It's what it's like having a tarot deck or an oracle deck. You just go deeper in a relationship with it. So yeah, that's exactly how, you know, the name. And like I said, saying I'm a tarot reader. And the last thing for me was definitely pricing. Pricing was something that was very, very hard for me to set a price for what was my value as a reader. I had somebody tell me when I first started, I was undervaluing myself. And I really started to think about that. I have another cousin that's very successful. She's actually in, child services. She's in child services and she does counseling for children. And so for her, I watched the video that she posted and she was really speaking about how your value is also based on not just what you offer as a service, but also the emotional content, the preparation you put behind things, you know, your investment of your time, your willpower. And it's important to be compensated for that also. So for me, my pricing definitely comes valued in the preparation I do, the emotional preparation. If it's meditation, if it's cleansing, if it's prayer, whatever I'm doing is all a part of, is all a part of the package that you get with me. And another good thing is I always tell people that get a reading from me, you actually get me 2 weeks afterwards, because I take pictures of oracle cards, prayer cards. They usually come up 2 weeks after you have your reading. So you get me for not just that day, but you get me for 2 to 3 weeks after that without even having to contact me. So for me, it's that I really put in the effort to show that I'm here for you and I'm present. So you're getting me for a continuation of time, not just for this day and I forget about you, you know? We're really building our relationship here. So for me, the three things: naming, coming out of the closet and saying I'm a tarot reader. Hello. And then the last thing for me was pricing. So those were the three challenges that I faced.
Right. And actually, I just kind of wanted to take a moment and really talk about that, because I think that that is something that it is such a when you start saying that, it is a weird thing to say.
I know. I understand you.
I feel like we all kind of have that moment where it's almost like a coming out of the closet, like going, okay, I'm going to say this. I am a tarot reader. I am a psychic. It's like you kind of have to get used to that.
Exactly. Because you already know what they're going to feel. People are going to wait for like the Morticia, little Elvira. Okay, if that's me, then that's me. You know, it's still safe for me to be in that space and know that you're safe. You have to have, you know, we're healer. We're still healers, you know, and protectors. So I don't know. I think it is scary. But if I'm not being fearless, if I'm not pushing my avatar to the most extreme of who she is, then I'm not being me. I'm doing an injustice to myself. Right. You know what I mean? Not just, and also to the people that need me, you know, the people that need me to say I'm a tarot reader, that need me to admit that to them. So they could be like, you know what? I need a tarot reading. And I've always wanted one, but I'm very afraid. I don't know who to trust and who not to trust. Completely understandable, you know? And that's where the journey is all about. Come out and say who you are and be that and own that. And don't be afraid of it. But it's scary.
well, it is. And I do actually feel like, particularly through the pandemic, that just because I know the market on a, you know, just looking at it strictly business level, tarot readings, psychic readings, metaphysical stores is something that completely boomed.
Exactly. I agree.
Over the pandemic. So I guess the question I want to ask for you is, did you notice a shift? Did you notice a shift in your business once the pandemic hit?
Absolutely. For sure. I would definitely say yes. And I think it's for a couple of different reasons. Anytime there's a couple of things that always stay stable when things go wrong, anytime market crashes or anything like that, religion or faith is one of the things that people don't stop investing in. You know what I mean? There's certain things people don't stop investing in. Wine. You know, if a market depression happens, people buy more wine. You know what I mean? And it's just a matter of a soothing thing. It's the same thing with spirituality. So if a market is suffering, spirituality is going to prosper the same way that the church is, because it's what people need at this time, because people need to stay connected to their faith, their soul, and their spirit. And sometimes they don't know how. So they have to seek out spiritual practitioners. So we're always going to be a part of a successful market when it's down and when it's up. When it's down and we're still able to generate, you know, sales or generate clientele, that shows you that we're needed. That's because people need us. You know, people need to, for me, like I said, they need the soul. And for me, soul is, okay, I'm a spirit, but soul is honoring that I know that I have a spirit. Because most people are like, well, I guess I have a spirit. But no, do you really know that you have a spirit and that you are everything and everybody is you? Like, really having that awareness is a completely different understanding of the matrix. So when people get that, they get those things that they're looking for, you know, from that one connection. They get whatever they're trying to find it in, you know, in peace or whatever, you know. Sometimes, you know, it's different things. So for me, it's definitely knowing that spirituality will always be a part of the market when it's up or when it's down. So I'll definitely say I did see a boom, for sure. I definitely did, for sure. Especially for people that weren't open to it or kind of realized that the church wasn't working for a lot of different reasons. You have to follow these rules. You have to live this way. No, it's not true. You be you. You be who you are. And you're accepted in spirituality. You know, religion restricts that. I'm not against it, but I'm saying there's restrictions with accepting people for who they are. And that's a problem for me. I want everybody to be who they are. You deserve that. You know, that's your birthright.
Yeah, I absolutely 100% agree. So what are some of the triumphs that you've experienced with your business?
The triumphs I would definitely say for me is I always have to shout out Red Barn again, because that once a month connection with people is really powerful at those sound baths. I build a lot of clientele there, but also it's a really great space for me to connect with other spiritual practitioners and really get advice, really get grounded. And it's a great reminder for me to know why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, why did I decide to be a tarot reader? Why did I decide to be a healer? So that is something that's very triumphant for me, is being in a community with other women and other spiritual practitioners that are have the same focus and drive as me. Another triumph I would definitely say is anytime I have a client that comes to me and they really received, like, you know, oh my God, this tarot reading was exactly right. Or you told me I had two choices and I had to choose a choice that was most in tune with who I am in my heart rather than my mind. You know, anytime a client comes back to me and lets me know that that tarot reading was valuable to them, it means a lot to me. It really, really does. I don't want to be right or anything like that. It's just the fact of, like, I know that I'm in alignment with my gift and I'm in alignment with sharing and letting the divine channel through me effectively more than anything, or just, you know, just being a channel. And that's important to always be accurate in that sense, you know, to make sure that the, because I'm just a channel. So really it's just spirit speaking what they want to let be known to this person, to know that I was be able to hold that space, I guess, hold a space for healing. So that's definitely been triumphant. And I would definitely say making it on this podcast is a triumph for me. Hoorah.
There you go.
There you go. Much respect.
Thanks for the plug.
Absolutely.
Anurakti, so I've known you for a little bit now. And one thing I've always been so, like, I thought is so cool about you is your hustle. I've been so impressed with that. And I know that you, and I'll let you tell everybody, you know, I know that you spin other plates. You know, you have a day job or whatever it is. So kind of talk about how you have all these other things going on, but you still treat your quote side hustle like a full-time business. Like you find the time, you hustle, you do what it takes. So just talk a little bit about that, because I think that's super inspirational, like how you do that.
I think it's just a part of, like, okay, how do I say this? I think that some parts of our lives, right, spiritual journey, this may be a little bit too foo-foo for people, but I'm gonna be real, okay? So I all believe that some things is due to karma, right? So some positions or jobs that we find ourselves in are part of our karmic debt. Maybe it's a part of a karmic debt for your family. If your family served the country, then maybe you find yourself in that type of employment, right? And it's just because it's a part of my karmic debt. My family was able to provide for me with this, but that doesn't mean that that is where I'm supposed to be. You know, I show my thank you to my parents by maybe servicing in that employment for some time. But while you're there, 9 times out of 10, when you find your spiritual path or whatever your gift is or what you're here for, when you're at your regular job, all you're doing is your side hustle. So every day when I was at work, it was like people were coming to me for readings, and I wouldn't have cards on me, but they want me to decode their dreams. They get signs and symbols from animals or numbers, and they wanted to know what it means. And I mean, it would be all day, like 8 hours of different people coming through my cubicle all day. So for me, I think it's just about being open to opportunities, I guess, is the great way to say is, how do I get so many plates spin at the same time? Well, if you want multiple streams of income, you're going to have to let multiple plates spin at one time. And who's not to say that you don't deserve that stability? And if I deserve that stability, that also means that I'm willing to take the responsibility and step up and be prepared at all times to take care of whatever comes across my plate at any time. So for me, the hustle is just about being passionate, to be honest. You know, nobody's going to do it for you. You have to be your own warrior, your own emperor. Nobody's going to come in and save you. And if you do, it's going to come with restrictions. So be your own warrior, be your own champion, and really be successful in every opportunity that you take. Really feel like, you know, I did the best that I could at that opportunity. It's safe for me to have a lot of different opportunities spinning at one time. It's safe for that to be in my reality. If your goal is, you know, whatever your goal is, like early retirement, to have more ease, to have more freedom. The whole purpose of working is not to work. The purpose of work is to have more freedom in life eventually, right? To create these incomes, and eventually they run themselves. So that is essentially the goal, you know? So for me, having a lot of different plates spinning and being a hustler is just about serving my passion and serving my community and really being impactful and inspirational. I think the most important thing that anybody needs to know at this time, it's safe to be you, and it's safe to maximize any opportunity that come across your table. Maximize it. Don't be afraid of it. It's okay to be tired, you know, but get back up. Get you 20-minute nap in.
Yeah. I like a 2-hour nap.
What's so funny about that is earlier, as we were talking before the show, I was on a conference, and one of the coaches was talking about like being productive and like making sure that you keep that human part in there, which, you know, is something I forget a lot. But one of the things that she actually mentioned was a 20-minute nap, because when you go beyond that 20-minute nap, all of a sudden you're moving beyond, like, now you're messing up your sleep cycles, and you get into that deeper REM cycle, whereas the 20-minute nap is actually like just very restorative and very helpful to your body. So it's like, but if you go longer than that,
you're shutting everything down.
Because I'm gonna go poo-poo again. When you start going longer than that, you start to go into deeper levels of sleep. And if all you are is spiritual energy, if all you are is light, then when you're sleeping, you're traveling. You're also working. So that's why I say a 20-minute nap, because you're staying within your body. Your spirit is staying within your body. When you start to sleep, you're traveling to other realms and other dimensions. They may say I sound crazy, but you're only light. Light travels faster than anything in the universe. So you can travel to another dimension and come back and be in your, you know? So, yeah, I agree with you. It is exhausting. It is. If you sleep more than that 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you right now, I'm not entirely sure what's going on cosmically, but my dreams have been insane lately.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
I come back, except for the fact that you wake up tired, because you're like, where did I go?
Where did I go for that little period of time, right? Right. I think Mercury is in Scorpio, but I was trying to figure out where, I forgot what Neptune is. There's an important Neptune placement right now. And that's what's affecting our dreams. Neptune is in Pisces. So that's understandable. So Mercury is all about communication, right? How we interact with people. So right now, if you're a light being and you're communicating with light and energy, Scorpio is very dark. Scorpio is a sign of death. It's a sign of transformation. Any Scorpio that comes across your life, they usually say they push you into some sort of transformative state. Now, Neptune is in Pisces, which it loves to be in. Pisces is ruled by Neptune. So it's kind of like you're going through this really dark shadow period right now, which isn't bad, because it's like you're going to be empowered. Like, you're going to become your grand Lilith. You know, Lilith is, you know, the first wife of Eve, first wife of Adam. And she left because she didn't want to be a part of the matrix. She didn't want to be a part of this patriarchal society. So a lot of that is kind of breaking away from those, honoring my shadow and say, okay, I don't want this to be a part of my life anymore. How do I break away from that? And being practical about it, you know, if I don't want to work a 9-to-5 job anymore, okay, what can I replace? What other form of income can I establish for myself to move away from that, right? And then once I do, I want to make sure that it is at least fulfilling for myself. And then you have to think about, there's going to be some sacrifices, you know, maybe I'll get less sleep or whatever, you know. So I think that dream state right now is very, very powerful, and it's really important to like record your dreams if you can, or at least look them up as soon as you wake up. But they're super empowering at this time. I do think so, especially because we're in Scorpio season, and you can like transform your reality a lot faster, you know, than in other times, slower signs.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You have so much knowledge about everything.
No,
I love that.
Do a study, read. You too. You taught me a lot, though, Stouffer. You have.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. I don't believe that, though. Yeah. When I met you, I was just like, because I was fairly new to the whole journey, everything, and I was just like overwhelmed, because you knew so much about astrology and tarot and like history and all this, and I was like, I got to do that. I got to know all that, you know. So it was a little bit of like, not necessarily like comparing, but I'm kind of a competitive person. So if somebody else knows something, I want to know it.
Exactly. Yes.
So,
yes.
I still don't know all that, but it's just, you're like a little dynamo. Like, it's just amazing how much research you've done, and you can tell the passion, because it's like, I know it's like, if you see something, you're like, hey, that's there for a reason. What do I need to know about that? Does that need to be part of my business? You know, what is it? So I just love that about you. That you don't take anything for granted. You know, it's put in front of you for some kind of reason, and you're willing to incorporate it into your business and your passion, your hustle. It's really cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So I was mentioning the story earlier when you were speaking at the Red Barn at one of the sound baths, you were talking about this oil that you created out of some like California ash wood or something. Yes. You're like, yeah, it was in my yard. The tree had fallen down. I forget the whole story, but it was like you saw like a tree laying in your front yard and you figured out how to make like a healing product out of it.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So I live on some property that has a lot of vegetation on it, trees, different kind of trees and things like that. So the person actually takes care of the land. I just saw these beautiful, I mean, they were the most beautiful leaves I just saw hanging out of the dumpster trash, right? And it was so fun. They're like, oh, you know you're a witch or a healer because you're digging in trash cans. And I was like, I would never. And then this morning I'm like getting out of my car and I'm looking, I'm like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. What is this? So I just really did my research on it, and it's known as the California ash tree. So California ash is actually, it comes from Europe, and it's very, very popular in Europe back in the days. And they actually used to use it a lot to heal children. So children that deal with illnesses, any type of illnesses, if your child would go swimming, it kept your child from, you know, drowning. So most of the time, these women, they would make this oil and they would put it on their kids every day while the kids wandered out into the wilderness, into the woods and explored life, right? And it was highly protective. It's known as the world tree. Actually also. So people really honored this tree back in the day, and they actually see it as, if you've ever seen the map of the world where it's like a tree and then it has like the atmosphere around it and it's supposed to like a globe or like the earth, right? That's okay. That is the tree in the center. That is the ash tree that a lot of people don't know is on that picture, is the California ash tree, or just the ash tree. But we have a California ash tree here specifically. It's very protective. It's really good for unifying masculine and feminine energies. It's known about divine mates. It just really encompasses the world card for me and the tarot deck. Really achieving that success, really achieving that true love, really achieving that stability for your children. I mean, what does everybody want in life? You know, we all kind of want the same things in a sense. It just may look a little bit different. But at the end of the day, we all want to be fulfilled and make sure our loved ones have that same fulfillment, you know, that loyalty, that trust. And that's what the California ash tree means for me. So that California ash oil, like, I really spent time on that. And I use it in a lot of different ways. I use the leaves. People don't know the leaves are great. If you get bit by a snake, you take that leaf and you put it over it and it sucks all the venom out. Like, the tree is crazy powerful. So it's really good for healing wounds. Like I said, snake bites. Super incredible. So yeah, that was just my inspiration. And my goal was always to bring something new to the Red Barn. Every time I go back, every month, I try to bring something new, make something, you know, bring in a more awareness to something else, something that is valuable, that we drive by or we overlook. So I used to go on my morning runs, and every morning I was catching myself like leaning on this tree and I would feel refreshed after killing myself on this dang on run. And so that's what, when I saw the leaves cut down, I was like, oh, it's from that tree. So that's what led me to really honor and cherish it. Cause I was like, this tree has helped me a lot. Every time I come home from this run and I'm dying and seeing the leaves in the trash, I was like, I gotta save you, cause you saved me from rolling down the driveway.
That's awesome. So you found the tree in the trash.
Yes, I did find it in the trash. It was just, they were so beautiful. They're just hanging like this. And it looked like they were so gorgeous.
You found the tree in the trash, and then you decided to make something that's going to heal the world. I love that. Mm-hmm. And you incorporate it into your business. I just love that you're always like ready to evolve and see everything as an opportunity. So I think our listeners and people watching can take that and apply that as well. It's like, you never know where opportunity, it might be in the trash.
Exactly. This is true. I have to be so honest. It's true. Opportunity is everywhere. You just have to be open to it. Be open to the flow of the divine at all times. She's always presenting you with an opportunity for a different path or a change. And sometimes it's a path of least resistance. We always want to follow what everybody else is doing. But what about your path? Your path has nothing to do with anybody else. So the path of least resistance can be the gold in the trash or whatever, you know? So I really own that.
I work with clients all the time, and you know, sometimes I end up with people that, you know, they've worked or they trained with somebody else, and then they're looking at like, now, you know, and there's like an affiliate program if you bring more people to that program. And I'm like, and that's great and that's wonderful, but what do you have to offer?
Mm-hmm.
And let's make sure that all of our marketing and everything that we're doing, you know, because I work with people with their brand and their logo and their like that identity for like to that visual identity to be able to market. And so it's like, you know, it's great that other people have, you know, this program, use the tools that you learned, but let's work on making sure that we are actually promoting your stuff primary, front and center, versus sending them more people.
And that's the fear though. And I couldn't agree with you more. That's the major fear that anybody has, is the fact that, okay, I can plug myself or attach myself to this, and it keeps me from being completely accountable and completely responsible for my own business, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm also a part of, I'm able to get a little clout if I cling on to this other entity or whatever, right? But it's really just, it's okay to use it as a stepping stone or as a resource or to be a part of it, but don't forget, you are your business. You can't just always, you have to do, back to the hustle, you have to be doing something outside of that to help to market yourself in a different way. You can't be dependable on that affiliate to bring you all your clientele or whatever. You know, you have to really go out and seek people that are willing to be a part of you for you. You know what I mean? Not just because, oh, I found you through this, which is great and super empowering. Of course, it's great. But what about you? What about, what are you doing to do the groundwork? The groundwork. And it's not the easiest part. I'm going to be honest. It's not easy, but you have to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in the especially recently, it's like I've been taking a lot of coaching programs, and I absolutely I'm like, if you're going to step out and do any kind of business, get an amazing coach.
Yes.
Get a coach with a proven track record, work with them, because just that work in general, because you can sit there and like put together your packages and you can put together your services and things like that. But if you don't truly 100% believe that you deserve to receive those clients and receive that payment for those clients, energetically, you're still not going to align.
Exactly.
And so you're so, you know, it's just something that I've noticed. And it's like, as I've been building and working my own business, it's, you know, I'm finding myself talking to clients that I never, ever, even, you know, 6 months ago would have never approached.
Exactly.
Just because but now that I have that understanding and that confidence and that like extra boost, I'm like, girl, let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And this is another thing. Like, I try to tell people that feel intimidated by that whole space of like, okay, I have to go and get clientele, I have to attract people. I just tell people, think about it like this. This is from a very business mindset. Okay. Think about it like this. Okay. If most of the time when we have a business, we have another job. Most of the time people do. So my whole thing is that if I'm trying to replace income to serve and make my passion truly what I do every single day, how do I do that? Sales. Great. I get sales. All right. So technically, if I'm trying to generate from this job, okay, how much do I make from this job right now? Okay, $3,000-$4,000, whatever, $5,000 a month, whatever. How many sales of what I already have, what I'm exclusively great at, tarot reading? Okay, great. If I do one tarot reading a day, how many sales is that a month? I do two tarot readings a day. That's 30 minutes of my time, two tarot readings, two 30-minute tarot readings, which is an hour of my time. I'm making three times what I make as working an 8-hour job, commuting, being around people. You know what I mean? So my whole thing is to really focus on sales. Like, if I get one sale a day, how is that going to transform my reality and put me on a path to financial freedom, put me on a path to more stability, put me on a path to really serving my passion, put me on a path to meeting my goals? And it really just starts with those small things and having those things be your trigger when you're meeting people. Like, oh, okay, you know, I'm of course I care about my clients all the time, but my clients paying for my service show that they care about me too. You know what I mean? If I was offering something for free, then, you know, that also shows that maybe my skill is lacking, or maybe I lack in knowledge, but I don't. I have all the studies. I put in the work. I put in the time. I put in the effort. So that means that I have something of value to offer you and you're willing to pay for it. Sorry, it's very business. So that just means that if I'm focused on that and I know I've done the work, then I know that you're willing to pay for my service. And that means that, okay, if I can get one sale a day, one sale a day, one sale a day, right? And eventually becomes, okay, two sales a day, two sales a day. And just focus on that and let that be your driving force. Don't be afraid to walk up in anybody. They're not afraid to call you when something's due to be paid or whatever. When something needs to happen, there's nobody, they're not afraid, right? So it's not, we have to navigate that same way. And it's still coming from a completely heartfelt and true space, but it's being, keeping the realistics and not being too foo-foo about it. Oh my God, one day I'm just going to have 500 bookings and, you know, it's gonna, no, you have to do the ground. You know, start with one reading a day. It may not even be one reading a day you're getting, and maybe one a week or two a week, but it doesn't mean that they can't grow to that. But keeping that as your, as my plug, if I got one reading a day, one reading a day, that'll put me on the path to being free of my job. That'll get me on the path to, okay, that covers my rent for a month, and I may still have to work a part-time job, whatever it is. You know what I mean? The goal is to make your passion the encompass of your life. So absolutely, is I'm no longer afraid because I'm like, no, this is what I want to be doing. I don't want to do what I'm doing anymore. I don't want to do that no more. It's not a part of me. It doesn't sustain me. I feel drained. I feel tired. I feel exhausted from doing it. But I can read tarot for hours and I'm like, who's next? You know? And that's the way to live. I want to live with joy, and that's what I want to live. You know, I don't care what the matrix says anymore. Forget that. Okay, I get it, but I'm okay. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I love the fact that you bring that mind, that business mindset to it, because I do feel like just in my journey, like with the metaphysical world, like you come across so many people that they're like, I want to do this for a living, or they went and they had a reading with somebody and somebody told them that they would be amazing at this. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, I'm going to plan on quitting my job and just do this full time. And you're like, but all they want to do is sit back and just like
receive,
like manifest it in real. And you're like, and I'm like, yes. Intention, manifestation, that is absolutely, like, I start my day with that. Like, exactly. I start, you know, I love all that. But then I actually have to go take the steps.
Exactly. And it's scary too. Like, I have to be honest, I have to plug Monica again. I loved her. I really did truly love Monica Henderson. You are awesome. Check out Meek Like Motivation. So I just want to also say that what I loved about her was that she spoke about social anxiety. I'm somebody that's a loner. I'm the hermit. I love being alone. I'm okay with not talking to people. And I was like, Tierra, you got to open your mouth. You know what I mean? I got to open my mouth and let people know what I do. I have to be able to speak that, be willing to meet people and talk to people. And that's scary too. So being willing to let go of those fears, whatever social anxiety or, you know, okay, if I'm weird in conversation or socially awkward, I'm just going to ride the bumps and eventually I'll get better. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like not caring anymore and just being focused on the ultimate goal. And sometimes it requires me to overcome internal obstacles and external obstacles. But if I don't face them or overcome them, then they're just going to sit there until I, you know what I mean? Until I handle them. The baby's diaper is still going to be dirty until I change it, period, point blank. Until I change it, it is not going to be clean. So it's kind of like until I face those challenges or those obstacles or the fears, they're still going to be there. So not just sitting back and manifesting. Most people sit back and manifest because they're afraid of, okay, it would help a little bit if I went outside my comfort zone and just put myself out there. If I just would just talk to two or three people or just did a little something a little different, it would help me. But I ain't going to do it. I'm just going to trust the universe. No, you got to take action on it. You know, you have to take action on it. It's your opportunity. It's your birthright. It's your right to use your willpower. Using your willpower is actually, okay, I manifested it, but will actually means taking the action. The next step is taking the action. Put on your boots, go out there and do it.
Yeah, I never understood manifesting as sitting back and not doing anything. Mm-hmm. For me, manifesting is, you know, setting your intention and then doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, doing it quietly until it actually comes to fruition.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not one to say, oh, something big's coming. I've got these big plans coming. Like, wait, I'm the person that's going to like sit back and then I'm going to hit you with it whenever it comes forward.
Yeah. When it's here, when it's present, I'm the same way. I agree. I agree. I agree with you about that for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Keep your manifestation safe, lock and key, you know.
So yeah, but it involves work for sure.
What I do is I'll do like my manifestation or my ritual for it, or whatever I decide to use for it. It's usually candles or some sort of whatever. Multitude of different things that I've learned throughout the years. But it's kind of like I'll set the intention and then I'll let go of it. And just be like, I'm releasing any form of how it's gonna, like, it's like if I'm sitting here going, okay, I need to meet three, you know, I need, like, I'll give an example. Right now I'm working on working with three people. Or my goal is to sign three new people on and be able to work with them to really develop their brand, their logo, and their website, to be able to launch them into the new year. So I've set that intention, and I've manifested that. And then I said, okay, I don't know how you're going to, like, take me to the right people.
There you go. Or bring them.
And then I just kind of have to release that. How is it going to show up? Who is it going to be? All these different things around it, and just go, this is what I need to have happen. Thank you. Take care of it. Exactly. And then I go to my networking events, and then I go to my, you know, I'm part of the conferences, and I'm part of, and I do my due diligence of making those connections and continuing to grow and expand. But, you know, there's that intention of bring me to those right people.
Yes. And that's another powerful thing you said. Like, I love to, like, read a lot on business, and they said, your network is your net worth. So if you're networking with people constantly, and if you have an array of, you know, there's some, you know, everybody has something to teach you, but your network is really a solid foundation to help you expand and to grow. And I'm a huge believer in that. So everybody I know, everybody's hands that I shake, they're gonna work in my benefit in some sort of way, as I am for them, you know. Well, I completely agree with networking and connecting with people to create that expansion with the intention behind to attract what I want to attract. More clients, those three clients that you want, you know, exactly. That's important. So I can only agree with you, and I completely understand you. Yeah. And that's powerful though, to always have that intention in the back. Cause a lot of times when we're on the journey, people forget the intention. And I always say, remember why did I start, or what am I here for? Or what is, you know, intention behind everything.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you are dropping some major knowledge tonight, Anarakti. We appreciate you. I think we're going to get to some readings.
Yes.
For anybody that wants any, but we want to give you the last word, Anarakti. So do you have any kind of advice for, you know, people in this light worker business, healers, you know, people starting out? What would be like your big, you know, encapsulating piece of advice for them?
I love this quote by Shakespeare, and he says, "Fearless minds climb soonest unto crowns." So my whole thing is to really just be fearless. Nothing can stop you but yourself, and I really mean that. You got to be fearless. You got to be relentless. You got to go forward. You got to dive off the cliff every single time, and just, you got wings like squirrels, whatever. You know what I mean? You're going to land on your feet. It's going to work out. You just have to really be fearless. That's the best thing I can say, because fear has held me back from so many things. And I just think that when you are a fearless spirit, you're pushing your avatar to the greatest and best it can be, so she or he can fulfill what they're here for. And that all comes from being fearless. The universe loves a stubborn spirit. She loves it. She wants you to be stubborn. She wants you to go for what you want. So I think that that's the most empowering thing, is just really be fearless. You're fearless, then you're going to be on your own throne.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, in your niche. No, you're good. Go ahead.
Okay. As you were talking, you reminded me of a song. It's one of my absolute favorites. It's by Shelley Wright. And the song is actually called "What If We Fly?" And the lyrics are like, because it's like, yes, we might fall, but what if we fly? It's like, what if the arms of the wind will carry you higher than you? It's like I love the message in the song, but it was like, as you were speaking that, it's like, because it is a fear thing. A lot of the times we are so afraid to take that jump. And but once you do it, and you do it with passion, and you do it with the desire of going forward, I feel like it's like the universe, I feel like, usually has your back.
She always supports it. If you got the intent in the right place, it's always supported. And sometimes, and that's when the magic happens, though. That's what I love about it. That's when the magic starts to flow. It starts to happen. You just start seeing things fall into place, or things kind of happen. And I'm sorry, I know we have to go to readings, but I have to throw this out there. The other day, like, I was having my own little human battle, as you spoke earlier about. I'm still a human. I was having my little human battle about this little decision. And I'm just driving down the street, and I'm really thinking about it. And I see this big old sign. I was driving past the liquor store, and it says, "Trust me." And it was written so big across the side of the liquor store. I'm not trying to plug a vodka or anything, but that's the name of a vodka, right? And it was like, "Trust me." At the same time that I'm having this thought, and she was like, "I know that you're really good at making things happen, but it's safe for you to trust me. It's safe to know that you don't have to do everything as a human. You can let the divine do things for you, you know, because I can get like that. Like, if I don't do it, or if I don't take the necessary action or be fearless in it, then how is she going to know that I'm receptive to receiving what I want? I already heard you, girl. Trust me." That was kind of what she was telling me. And that's happened to me before, like when I was taking a leap of faith a couple years ago. The same thing, the same brand came up. So I was like, "Oh my God, that's amazing. They just trust me." So just believing, taking those leaps of faith and trusting, no matter what happens, it's going to still bring you that emotional fulfillment if you have the right intent behind it, you know?
Absolutely. I agree. Wow. Powerful.
You got a speechless.
So with that, let's roll into our readings.
Yay! I love
We do have one person who has asked for a reading already. If you're watching, if you are watching and you would like to, or are open to receiving a reading, do drop a comment to let us know that you're both here and that you are open. And we will pull, kind of how we do this is we each pull a card, and we will give you a little mini reading.
So I have a quick question. Can you give a little bit of instructions for people that may not know how to comment?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, because I think me and Anurakti received a text from someone. So there might be people that don't know how to comment. So just if you can't comment, just feel free to text one of us if you know our number.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
We have a mutual friend that's having trouble commenting on YouTube.
So with YouTube, so I was actually going to say with YouTube, if you you do actually have to have an account with YouTube if you actually want to be able to comment and engage.
So that would be your Google account.
Yeah.
So if you're logged in, or if you're not, just text. If you know one of us, text us. So
yeah,
text us.
So okay, we are going to go with JoJo because JoJo has been patiently waiting.
All right.
Hey, cool. Hi, JoJo. Welcome.
Hello.
So are you guys going to pull for JoJo?
Yeah.
I'm asking for a card for JoJo, so take me just a second to get the right one.
Okay. Okay, so the card I pulled is the card for universal love. I'm using a sacred geometry deck tonight. And I feel like the card reads, "Universal love activates the connection we feel to each other, to the planet, and to the whole of existence itself." And I feel like with this card, I feel like there's a bit of a hesitation around that. Like JoJo, I feel like you might be feeling a little bit like, "I just kind of want to shut the world out," and or "I'm afraid to allow myself to be connected to other people, to be open." Mm-hmm. And I feel like what this is saying is that it's okay to kind of crack that window open just a little bit, take that shield down, you know, from maybe 100% to maybe like, you know, 80. let some of that connection through. It's there to help you. It's not, It's not quite as scary. I understand where the hurt and the scary can come from, but it's not quite as scary as you're thinking it may be.
Mm-hmm. JoJo says, LOL.
JoJo also said, yes.
Right. All right. So JoJo, so I've got All That Glitters. And I'm pulling from the Wisdom of the Oracle by Colette Baron Reed. What I'm feeling into this is that you might be pursuing something. It could be someone, but I feel like it is more of like a venture. I think it's more of like a situation that you might be pursuing, or you see it's something that you see that seems really, really good, and it seems like it's for you. But what I'm hearing is that you might want to like pump the brakes a little bit. Because it might not be all that it's cracked up to be. So it's going to require a little bit more research, JoJo. I'm not saying that it's not for you, but I'm being told that maybe you should kind of see all sides of the globe here with this particular situation. So it may or may not be all that it's cracked up to be, but just get a little more research, pump the brakes, and don't jump in too fast. I hope that resonates. Interacti, did you want to pull a card for JoJo?
I actually did pull a card for JoJo. So I pulled the Nine of Swords for JoJo. So I think that goes back to what both you guys were saying. Definitely, this could mean definitely having anxieties over something, being stressed about something because of something that you really want or something that you think is very emotionally fulfilling. And I just say that because the Ten of Cups also fell out. So that means having anxieties about something that you think is your dream and very emotionally fulfilling. I totally agree. Take your time with it. I definitely think there's a wish fulfillment in this situation or whatever it's regarding. I definitely have something to do with a relationship, something that is very close to your heart. I definitely think that it is safe for you to withdraw and take your time to get your own sort of insight, going within to find answers because when you do that, then you'll be able to let go of the anxiety and the stress or fear regarding the situation. But it's definitely it's definitely something good here for sure with the Nine of Cups. It's definitely going to bring you what you want and bring you a lot of fulfillment. Nine of Swords just mean you have to let go of the stress, maybe take that time to think about it. Why am I having these anxieties? Those anxieties can be related to childhood issues. At the bottom of the deck, we have the Eight of Cups. Walking away from like childhood traumas. So maybe you have to be mindful of how do I heal some more with myself and getting to know this other person or getting to grow deeper in this relationship that's what I pulled. I pull a lot of cards, sorry.
I was gonna say there are no one card readings with Anurakti.
I know, I can't help it. I love the cards. There's 78, I'm gonna use all of them.
No, you're bringing value to our listeners and people watching. So thank you. Absolutely. So JoJo, that's a lot to unpack. So, you know.
For sure. So we do have one more person asking.
Oh, KK.
Before we get to KK, can we our friend Susie, she had texted me.
Hi Susie, that's Red Barn. Shout out Red Barn Community Center.
Hi Susie. One of the founders of the Red Barn Community Center in Murrieta, California. And we'll be putting her links in there as well since she's gotten some major plugs. All right, so this is Susie, and I'll go ahead and see what card is coming forward for Susie. And then we'll get to KK in just a moment as well. Okay. Okay, I love this card for you, Susie. So I've got co-create. Mm-hmm. All right. So anytime I see this card, there's several cards in the deck that have eggs. And this always is brings me to like a nest egg, you know, financing. So I do believe that what you're building and kind of where your intention is right now, like a goal, is going to require some additional focus with financing. I believe that it's already started. It feels small to me right now, and it feels like it needs to get about three times bigger. So it's just going to take a little extra focus, but I do believe that energy is coming in. I almost feel like, I don't know why I'm being drawn to like crowdsourcing. So I feel like there's going to be people like almost like donations or something to help you out with this. I feel like other people are coming in to kind of make this happen. And I know like the Red Barn is kind of a community project for you. So it might be something that it's going to be kind of like sourced or helped out by your community. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling a very collaborative effort with the financing. So just look out for that. I think it's going to happen. And I'm getting like a 2-year kind of plan for this project for like completion.
Yeah. And what's, I almost started giggling a little bit when you started, because the card that I pulled, is the alchemy card.
Oh, that's so funny. This is crazy. I pulled the same dollar card. This is crazy in sync right now. Go ahead.
So the alchemy card is, it's the activation of our ability to perform miracles. Mm-hmm. And what I like about this card, it's kind of, well, maybe you can't see it here, but it's like it's got all these points and all these pieces that create this flow and work together. And so I feel like, you know, it goes right along with what Stouffer was saying about, you know, it's what you're working on and what you're creating. It's on the right track. So I it feels positive to me. It feels really good.
So. I get political cards too. Like, so when she said alchemy, Temperance is the card of alchemy in the tarot deck. This card is all about alchemy. It's all about miracles. It's also about being guided by angels. It's a lot about healing. But it's definitely creating, you got some really great cards here, but it's definitely about creating a really safe space. And it's definitely like sanctuary energy, but it's definitely meaning that whatever you're doing with your emotions and with your hands, because on the other end, you have the King of Pentacles. So whatever you're doing with your emotions and with your resources is bringing like true heart's fulfillment with Knight of Cups energy. So this is definitely like back to Stouffer when he said having a lot of support. I definitely do see, as he was saying, like investors coming in if you're interested in that, like completely. The King of Pentacles is all about investing. He can be an angel investor, especially with this angel on the card. This can be specific about having an angel investor, or maybe that could be you. And this is definitely saying somebody that's very protective and very defensive also. So this person is going to do everything to protect the foundation, make sure that you're protected. Make sure anybody that comes through is protected. This is very, very powerful. This can be also like maybe looking at upgrading camera systems also, because behind that we have the Ten of Pentacles. This is the epitome of financial stability. So making sure you have protection on whatever you have, cameras and everything. With the King of Pentacles, definitely more promotions. You can definitely look at an increase in finances regarding the foundation, the Red Barn. Definitely look at a constant flow of new customers. I mean, this can literally mean 9 new customers. 9 of Cups is emotions, and you deal with music and healing. So 9 new customers coming in. It's very, very successful. Much support. Like, this is awesome.
We get that forward-flowing energy.
That was, like, crazy.
Right. And she actually texted me. She texted me and said, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yeah. She's loving it.
So with that, we are right up against the hour.
Do we only have 1 hour?
Huh?
Can we can't go beyond 1 hour?
I guess we can do one more.
KK was the only one I think I saw.
All right, let's get KK. She's asking about Irene. Is Irene thinking about me a lot these days?
Okay.
What's feeling to Irene? What's going on with her?
Irene probably has blonde hair. I'm seeing blonde hair. I'm seeing Irene with blonde hair.
I have one that fell out.
Okay, I've got a yes for this, that there is a lot of thought happening. I feel like it's more of like a long game kind of thought. It's not like what can it be now? It's more like future. It's more like an imagination, almost like a fantasy. Is what I'm getting with Irene. So it almost doesn't seem like super practical for now. Whatever this is, whether this is, you know, romance or friendship, whatever it is. But I feel like it's a desire to have something to build on in the future. But I don't see Irene really like kind of focusing on the now. I think she's got some other things, you know, there's some hurdles or some blocks. So that's what I'm getting. Mm-hmm. But she is thinking about you, but it's in kind of a different sense. It's kind of almost a fantasy about what it can be down the road.
Yeah. And the card that I drew is actually, is very similar.
Imagine. I'm sorry. I didn't mention the card. It's called Imagine.
Gotcha. The card I pulled is Passion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it goes right along with what Stover was saying, because it's more or less, this card is more about finding that balance within, like, there is the passion, there is that, like, that thought, but it's also like, they're trying to balance their own stuff at the moment too. So I feel like it's just one of those things where it's you know, just give it time. Cause yeah.
I agree. I'm sorry. I agree. This is so funny, y'all. So I'll be honest. I pulled a couple cards. I put the Moon and the Devil, but that is specifically about emotions. Oh man. I'm so sorry. Did you guys hear that? Okay, I'm so sorry. I don't know how to. Okay. So the Moon and the Devil is definitely about deep emotions. And this is all about passion. The Devil is not a scary card. It is about, like, this has a lot to do with, like, sexual passion. So maybe you guys have, like, had, like, really great intimacy. So this is definitely somebody thinking about you in a deep way, intimacy-wise. But like Stover said, when he said something that's going to take time, she doesn't see it for until down the road, I completely agree, because the Knight of Pentacles clarified that. The Knight of Pentacles is a very slow-moving energy. It's something that it takes a long time to develop. But the Sun card, though, it just means, I just took cards that fell out. The Sun card means that she definitely feels a lot of positivity towards you. She definitely feels good vibes with you. She definitely loves the, like, she really feels good vibes and positive energy when she's with you. And this definitely means that she still has emotions for you. But right now, she's just focused and kind of stuck within her own reality and what she needs to co-create. Interesting. Co-create with the universe for her own reality. So she's probably somebody, to be honest, that may not even be dating right now with the Nine of Wands also. She probably is not even interested in dating or a relationship right now. She's just really focused on her life and what she needs to create for herself. But does she think about you? Absolutely. Definitely feels the passion. Definitely still feels emotionally connected. You guys may be even experiencing some telepathy here also with the Moon card, getting downloads. So you may be able to, like, hear a voice in your head and things like that. So yes, that would definitely be her communicating with you, and just be open to that. But I would definitely give her space, because she's definitely in a fragile state right now, is what I would say. With these cards, she's definitely a fragile state. So if she ever wants to hang out, I would keep it light, lunch or whatever, and then no heavy talk. That's what I would say.
Yeah. So she is saying thank you. So
nice.
Awesome. I always like it.
Yay. That was awesome. I'm so sorry about the phone call. It was my mother.
No.
All right. Is she watching?
Well, I don't know. Maybe so. Probably not if she called. Well, yeah, probably so. She has iPads and stuff. So who knows?
Fair enough. So Interactive, tell us how people can find you.
So yes, you guys can find me on my Instagram at Loves and Eurocti. You can also find me on my website. Book me at my website, eurocti.as.me. Also exclusively available for personal readings at the Red Barn. So those are places you can find me. You can always book me for private parties. My information is available on my website. It's a scheduling website, but all my information is at the top. Don't be afraid to read, guys. So check it out. If you ever want to hit me up or DM me on Instagram, I'm always available. Like I said, I love to connect with the community. It is a part of my service to share my gift with you. And you also teach me something when I meet with you. So that's important to me. So yes. And thank you guys again. I'm really, truly grateful. Stopher and Cassie, thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for being on.
Yes. We have loved it. Absolutely. And Stopher, tell them how they can find you.
Okay. Everything is My Faded Life. So my website, myfadedlife.com. You can check out my blog, private readings, whatever you need to do there. And then all my social media is at My Faded Life.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And I am Stargazers Unite. You can find me on my website, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, stargazers.unite, or stargazersunite.com. Mm-hmm. For Market Your Magic, we are on, we will be airing this to Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Pandora. So go over there and check us out there. Thank you for everyone who has tuned in, and we will see y'all soon.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye. Mm-hmm.